Welcome to our August 27th, 2012 teleconference interview with Radha Tereska-Bucco. My name is Lucinda Abbey. I'm representing the Dances of Universal Peace North America Board of Directors. And it's my pleasure to speak with Radha today on the topic of the art of feedback, the art of this precious, with our precious dances, how we can improve our relationship to how we comment on each other's dance leading. And Radha and I have known each other since about 1997 or so, when I took her dance leader training class. And I took it not having met Radha before, but because I knew Wally Ali was going to be a major part of it, and Radha was working on writing up the manual that we all love, the Foundation Dance Manual, and she wanted to have really wonderful notes from Wally Ali on the walks. So each class that we had with Radha and Wally Ali, Radha was busy taking notes and someone was transcribing them and typing them up, and those became part of our wonderful Foundation Dance Manual, which is a great resource for dance leaders all over the world. And it's now how it used to be available in a printed version. Now it's housed on the Dances of Universal Peace International website, available to dance leaders who are current with their membership in the Leaders Guild. So Radha Tereska-Bucco lives in Vermont. She's been dance leading for I don't know how long, she'll have to tell us, but it's a long time. And she's been a mentor for a very long time and has been training new dance leaders and new dance mentors. And in the course of all this work that she's been doing, she's documented everything and typed everything up. And so there's lots of information that she's ready to share beyond, I think, the sphere of her own circle of influence, which has been her mentor and dance leader training classes. And this talk today will give us an insight, give us a taste of what she's been working on, what she's been thinking about, and how it might be useful for our own dance circles. So I know we have quite a few people on: Waduda, Pat, Morgan Rivers, Rahmana, Wajida, Harifata. Did I leave anyone out? And I'd love to know if you are all dance leaders or mentors, or Waduda? Are you?
Yeah, I'm a dance leader and mentor.
Yeah, wonderful. And Pat from Canada?
Hi, I'm a new certified dance leader for about 1 week.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Morgan from Iowa?
Yes, I'm a dance leader here in Des Moines. I've been leading a circle for about 8 years, but I'm still a supervised leader with Alauding.
Nice. And Rahmana?
I'm a certified leader.
And Wajida?
I was just waiting for you to ask. Certified leader.
Nice. And Harifata?
I'm a leader and a mentor.
Yeah. So wonderful. I'd like to introduce Radha and let her talk to us for a little while, and then if you have a pencil and paper, you can note down your questions, and we'll have time for that also.
Should we star
like to begin
six
with
now?
Good time to star six, and
then
we'll do the invocation. Star six
and
will be for
those
who are
not speaking.
Can you
guys talk a little bit louder?
Yes, I will. So if you press star six, that will mute you. And you can speak along with me as I start our meeting with the invocation, taking a deep breath together and getting in the mood of this wonderful Dances of Universal Peace practice that we have. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And Radha, let's hear from you.
Thank you, Bismillah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to share my thoughts. and especially for letting me choose the topic, which is so very dear to me. And that's perhaps because it has been one of my strongest learning tools for my own leading. By being put in the position to ask for and to receive feedback from other dancers and dance leaders, I fine-tuned my own leading tremendously, and I will say I continue to do so. I don't think I will be saying anything that hasn't been said before, and much of what I'm going to say is just common sense and review. But it just gives us a marker, a place to review it, to think about it. I'd like to start with a backstory and then address my experience with solicited feedback, both given and received. And then finally, if there's time, to talk about some specific instances about feedback. 25 years ago, in answer to your question, Lucinda, shortly after attending my second dance weekend, I fell into becoming a dance leader, simply because I wanted to dance and there were no dance classes, no other leaders in Vermont or any nearby state. So I began. The major dance training in those days happened at Lama Foundation in New Mexico. So I went, green as I was, and was invited to lead a dance in the dome. I led the introductory bismillah. When the dance ended, a master dance leader who had been dancing next to me turned and said, "Great job." I was relieved, and I went to lunch. Then I sat next to another master teacher who turned to me and said, "Sam never led that dance that way." Gulp. Good job, bad job. I was deeply confused. I didn't know what I had done well, and I didn't know what I had done poorly. Let me interject here that for years I remember this incident with great discomfort and irritation. But when I was preparing this talk, it occurred to me that that incident was a real gift, and that that experience set me on a discovery course that still continues. So getting both of those comments at the same time for the same dance just inspired me in a way that just getting half of the comment, either one, would not have. So I now can appreciate that incident. Not long afterwards, I was appointed to the first group of mentor teachers who were to begin the formal certification process for dance leaders. I was the only one in the group from the East Coast, and so by default, I received many requests for mentoring from my peers. I was still confused about the good job, bad job incident. I lacked confidence, and I felt like I was the blind leading the blind. The question that came repeatedly from my mentees was, "Am I there yet?" And I really wanted to answer that with more than good job, bad job. I knew that I wanted to be specific. So at that same time, I had enrolled in a master's degree program at the School for International Training. I wanted to validate my work with the dances in the academic community as a prelude to bringing the dances into schools and other mainstream institutions. So I was required by the school to identify all the elements in my field that I had to learn and demonstrate. And this was very helpful, although agonizing at first. I reworded the school's learning categories, which were knowledge, skills, and attitude, into something more relatable to our dance work, and that was body, mind, and spirit. And I was able, eventually, to list about 100 elements that that were measurable. I thought that was pretty good. My fledgling dance leaders wanted rules, or they seemed to invent rules from surface observations. Like, never start a session with a partner dance, or always end with the kalama, or some such thing that's not written anywhere, but somehow gets passed around in the grapevine. But the more that I led and the more that I watched others lead, the more I suspected that there was no rule that could fit all circumstances, and that the total was greater than the sum of its parts. There was something more than having a simple formula. So in my quest, I came to two insights. The first one was when I heard about a marathon runner who was very successful in winning races. And the odd thing was that the experts in the field of running said that he had very bad form, but he kept winning marathons in spite of his poor style. So they finally put him in a lab and hooked him up to wires and machines and discovered that one of his legs was shorter than the other. He had developed a running form that compensated for the unevenness. He started with his desire to win and modified his style to get to his goal. So I think of, again, the same thing happened this year in this year's Olympics with Oscar Pistorius. My second insight came from my son. My son was a competitive gymnast in college. So I, the sports mom, would go to his home meets and sit in the bleachers. And of course, my eyes were constantly only on him. And I watched that before his routine, he'd stand in deep concentration. And I knew he was going through his moves, his routine in his mind. I could feel his focus from across the gymnasium. And I have to say that that field that he created was quite tangible, at least to me. So I saw a similar body-mind preparation with an old-school dance leader who would take a minute or two in silence before beginning a dance. Sometimes his presentation of the music or movements were off-center, but his magnetism always brought the group to a clear experience of unity. The clarity of intention was a key element. So this all made perfect sense to me. And I took a phrase from the architect Franklin Lloyd Wright to be my single guidepost, and that was form follows function, and not the other way around. So at the end of a dance, in that moment of silence, I asked the question, have we gotten there? And the there being, to use a phrase I often dance to, closer and closer each step to my beloved. So in evaluating a dance or a dance session, I work backwards from goal or intention to form. If we end in using another phrase from a dance, the place just right, then there's no need to fix anything of the form. That place just right sometimes is difficult to capture in language, and yet in those times of learning when feedback is asked for, words want to be used. So I wanted to check my experience with others. I spent more than several weekends exclusively with other dance leaders. We took turns leading, and after each dance, we shared experiences. I discovered that each of us had unique barometers, or let's say danceometers. We noticed different elements and had different priorities. Same dance, different experiences. there were folks who were conservators and others who were creators. Some were more attuned to the music. Some were married to the flow of the dance. Some wanted details. Others wanted essence. Just like it is in the rest of life, you know, a wide spectrum of preferences. And I think that the polarities hold a healthy tension to keep everything in balance. So for the most part, it's like that bell curve, and it's only the very far extremes in the polarities that is worrisome. And I've had my share of those. I've witnessed some. For example, a dance leader being so demanding of proper form that half the circle leaves. And a dance leader so creative with personal style that the essence of the lineage is totally lost. But basically, we're looking for that middle balance part. So I would ask for measurable feedback from my dance circle. Whenever possible, I requested written feedback so that I could keep track over time. And over the years, and hundreds of dance sessions, and hundreds of responses, I started seeing a pattern of what works and what dancers appreciate. And I love to read those responses. My favorite question of all is, what three gems are you taking away from this dance experience? And what I get is that when I put it all together, I can see a pattern in it. And I don't need more than three from any one person, because it'll just be the three that pop out, and three other ones will pop out for someone else. So I love that. I love that question, and it keeps it simple and short. And another question I'd like to ask to get feedback is, what do you want more of? What do you want less of? And the two questions go together. Sometimes if you want more of something, it's at the expense of something else. So I ask people to kind of balance out or trade off what they might want and need. For example, more dancing might mean less rest time or less social time. More dances might mean shorter dance time for each individual dance. So we kind of try to see that there's always a trade-off for what we might want. And I don't just ask this question at the end of a dance session. I may actually ask it at the beginning of a session to see how to plan the session, to see what the group needs in that particular moment. And when I first started doing this, it was a bit intimidating. I'd have to be ready to lead any dance in my repertoire. But as I did it more often, it became easier, and it actually made a very deep impression upon the dancers, who felt that they were being heard and their immediate needs were being addressed. So all of this kind of has brought me some confidence in my ability to actually offer someone an opinion, and I couldn't do it otherwise. So I'd say it's 60% or even 75% of the issue is to get feedback myself before I can offer it. And when I am asked to give feedback, I have some ground rules that I've learned by doing. And the first one is that I have a relationship with the person who is asking for feedback. I have some appropriate relationship. I'm only one cook in a very large cooking school with many chefs, so I will need to have some form of relationship. Either this person is my mentee, attending one of my trainings, is a co-leader with me, but there is a relationship.
Anahata.
Hi.
Hi.
We've just gotten an email in that says that you need to speak up a little bit louder.
All right. Thank you. All right. First point, relationship with the person asking for feedback. The second is that I have time and space to do the feedbacking. I won't answer on the fly at the end of a dance meeting when people are wrestling about saying their goodbyes. I need private time and enough time so that it can actually be a sacred exchange and not something that has to fight with other things happening. And the third requirement is that I know specifically why I'm being asked to do this. So the person asking for the feedback is in charge of what kind of feedback they want. And so assuming those conditions are met, here's my very short list of how I feedback someone. It really is in the person's ballpark. I ask them to do a self-assessment. What did you specifically like about your own leading? And what would you do differently, if anything? And so asking a person to self-assess allows them to actually learn by doing, which is more effective than learning by listening to me. And secondly, it shows me what the person has noticed, how present they were in the circle and to the needs of the group dynamics. And if questions arise, I bring it back to them. What makes you ask the question? What do you think? It always goes back to the person. So what I hope is obvious is that I'm just trying to pull out of the person their own sense of learning. I might ask something like, where did you want to go with this dance? What has been your relationship with this dance or this dance practice? But it always goes back to the person. When we've exhausted that, I'll offer motivational feedback, which some people would call positive feedback. I like to use the word motivational in the sense that it will motivate people to continue doing what they're doing because it's working. So I offer it when it's true and authentic and very specific. So I will get it down to something that is measurable and allow the person to notice that it had a positive effect on me and that I noticed what they were doing. The corrective feedback, which is the second to the last thing that I would do, comes after I have clearly separated out my own preferences for my own style and what really hampers the experience from getting to an elevated place. So it's a special challenge to me to separate those two things out. And I will pick one. If there's more than one item, I'll just pick one item and something that is absolutely doable, next step, level appropriate. This also is a factor when I say I have a relationship with the person, so I know what level this person's at, so I can gear my comments to that level. And I would start with the end and say, is this the outcome you wished for? And if not, what? Let's brainstorm together. What possible ways can we get to where you want to get to? So again, trying to get the person to come up with those possible changes rather than me. So it becomes an exploration journey together, kind of a treasure hunt of working together and not me saying anything from the top. I listen for understanding, and I end all that with a repetition of the motivational feedback that I started with. And I always will go back to that one guidepost I said, form follows function. If we start with an intention, there's a greater likelihood that we can agree on intention. And the form, well, we may have different forms, but if we start with intention and let the form arise from the vision, I think we've got a real head start. So that's, out of all of that, that's my key, my little turnkey there. That form follows function. Start with your intention, and you'll be on the right track.
Beautiful. There's so much food for thought here. Let me think. I've got some notes written down. Maybe other people do also, Radha. One just curious thing I want to know is you said that you get written feedback from almost every dance that you lead and that you've led in a lot of schools. I'm just curious what kind of feedback you get from students and what ages of students.
I'll give you one example that I love, and I've told this story many times. I was leading dance for a big brother, big sister program, and I think it was The Earth is Our Mother, and I was talking all about how when we lift our arms, we're making a teepee, and I don't know what I was saying, but I was talking. And this little boy next to me said, "When are we going to dance?" And it hit me, like, they don't need to know all of this. They just need to dance. They just need to be in the dance, and they'll know it. So I got feedback right away, "You're talking too much." So I stopped talking, and I just got them dancing.
And I remember being on dance leader training with you at the Abode, and you started one session without saying a word, and you led a dance. And that was such an interesting experience for me that I've always remembered, because it would be my natural style, I think, to lead with less talking. But to see it illustrated by you, and not by saying, "Okay, I'm going to lead a dance without talking about it," but just to start leading. And we didn't even know what dance it was going to be. We just started moving in one direction and then in the other direction, and then eventually we added some music and then some words, and then we were dancing. So you illustrated a couple of points there. One is teaching by example also.
I love that way, and not only do I love it, but that in my responses and in my those three gem questions, that is one comment that comes up. It might be my number one comment from people all around, that they really love to dance without instructions, as long as it's a dance that's fairly familiar or simple. And it becomes more of a ritual and celebration than a dance instruction class.
So do you think that's because then you're inviting everyone to dance on an equal basis without having a leader and someone who's not as good of a dancer? Or what do you think is the reason behind that?
Yeah, well, because I think it's getting an experience which is immediate. Listening to a lot of talk can kind of hit you and go over your head, and after the second sentence, it's gone anyways. But the experience is real and very present. So people like it, whether they're the kids or us senior citizen folks.
And so do you think you originally came up with that style by teaching children, or not necessarily?
No, actually, it's not. I didn't invent it. One of my early dance teachers was Tasneem Fernandez, and I have to give her credit for being able to do both. Her setups were magnificent. Sometimes it would take her a half an hour to set up a dance, and other times it would be right cold turkey from silence into a dance. And she always knew which method would work for which dance. So what that showed me is that there's no one way to do it. You have to feel it out, and I think that's where I got my permission, and I happened to like it, so I kind of went with it.
You polished it.
And I polished it, and then I saw that people like it.
Great. While you were just speaking to us, you mentioned that sometimes you like to question your dancers to see what they like and what they don't like, what they would like to see more of or less of, and that usually that's done at the end of a dance. How is it done at the beginning of a dance, or do you mean at the beginning of a dance camp? Could you do it at the beginning of a single dance evening? I don't understand how it would work out.
Yes, I can do it at a single dance evening. And in fact, I came upon that when I had small circles. So it just kind of came to me one evening, and there were, perhaps less than a dozen dancers. And I looked at my list that I had prepared, and it just felt like I don't need a list. What I need to do is ask people where they're at in their lives. And we went around, and I had to pay attention. And for each person, I thought of a dance that would fit into whatever they needed. And we had time. We had time to do a dance for every person. And that was a great hit. People would come back and say, I really liked that dance, and I forgot the melody, but I said the words, or I would suggest that they could call me, and I'd sing the melody to them, and they would use it as a practice during the month. So that was a big hit. In a larger group, I still have done it. In fact, I did it last week, and I kind of took a poll of where people were at, and although the words were different that different people offered me, I could group some qualities together and still come up with a program that that spoke to the present needs. So as I said, it's taken a number of years for me to get to the place where I can do that, but it's very effective.
And then at the end of that session, would you get written feedback from people?
I do. I do get...
Just the questions that you mentioned to us already.
Yes.
So this is new for a lot of us to hear, to think about actually passing out paper and pencil. So at a dance meeting, at a monthly dance meeting, you would pass out a paper and pencil?
Yes.
Or...
And when I say three gems, that could be three words. You know, so it's not... not overburdening anyone. And I found that if I leave space for it, people will do it. When it's a longer session, a day long, a weekend, or more, obviously we have more built-in time. But it can be done even at the end of an evening. An alternative can be just a go-around in the circle at the end before letting go of hands. But I find that if people actually write, they'll say more. They'll be more specific because it's private. And I never ask for signatures, so they could anonymously say whatever they want to say.
I'm still trying to see how this fits in. So is that before you close or before the last dance? Or,
yeah.
I'm not sure how that fits in.
Before the last dance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perhaps we could open up to questions from our group here that's listening in. Star 6 will get you back on the call, take you off mute.
This is Morgan. I had a question.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi. I actually couldn't hear you when you listed the three gem questions that you asked. I didn't hear what they were.
All right. What I ask is, what are three gems that you're taking away from this dance experience?
Oh.
And I leave it very general so that people could say whatever, in whatever way they want. So some people say one word. No, I'm taking away openness. Love. Some people might say, I really like that we did a personal invocation. So they'll be more specific.
Okay, so you just asked that one question.
Yep.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So people that come every month, they know that you're going to, they are, this is part of the routine, they know that they're going to be part of this?
Yes.
All right.
And it's not always motivational. I recently got a comment, which I'm still kind of mulling. I led the Spirit of Peace dance, and I led it because a woman had danced it with me a number of years ago at St. Michael's College, and I haven't seen her since. But when she returned, she said that she had been leading this dance since that time, and she had shared it with numerous groups. So I said, okay, let's do spirit of peace. And while we were dancing, another woman left the circle. And her feedback, she wrote that she had a hard time with the word peace, and she could not sing it, and that she came from a military family, although she wasn't a war mongrel, but it was hard for her to be in the song. And so I'm still pondering that. I want to honor her feelings and hear her, and I haven't had a chance. She hasn't come back, so I haven't had a chance to check in with her.
So using your system of giving yourself feedback or giving yourself self-evaluation, you would be asking yourself, what could I have done differently? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And right now, I don't, you know, not know, that's a new one. I've had people have difficulty with other words, but I've not, in all my dance leading, I've never had someone who had difficulty saying the word peace. So I'm still pondering that one.
As we all are right now. Trying to think of how we would give you a suggestion. Any other comments? Star 6 to unmute yourself.
This is Hira Fatah. I'm just, you know, coming out of what you've just been speaking about. I have gotten just absolutely diametric feedback for the same dance, you know, that I was leading at the same time, you know, from two different people, and people just have their own experience, and you know, part of it is, even with mentoring, I say, well, to my mentees, you know, this is just my experience now, just accept that that's what it is. And we actually, in our dance leadership training that Murad and I have been doing, have stayed away from the word feedback. We actually call it harvesting experience, and in our written forms, we ask everybody in the training after a dance that somebody leads to sit and write down from their own personal experience, just that this is this. First of all, first question is, what state are you in now? As the dance ends, and you know, do you have any guesses at what got you there? And sometimes it, you know, we just have to admit that we're there because of the state we came in, and we can only go so far with that state during the space of one dance. But sometimes there's real specific things that a leader can say, oh, ah, I see that moment, how that happened for this person. And they could be things that, you know, maybe you would say are desirable, or things that maybe weren't desirable. But to be able to identify them sometimes is really, we have to make our own judgments about whether this is because of what was presented, or whether it was because of what they came with. And it's always both. I mean, it's just like the nurture and nature thing with raising children. I mean, it is always both of those things. I cannot take credit for somebody ending in a particularly enlightened place. They had to do something before they came, you know. So it's that whole picture of how this person got to this moment. And yes, the last 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever you've done to set up the atmosphere in the room, that is part of it too. But I don't feel a responsibility for where each being is. And I think it would just be, you know, an overwhelming thing if I did. either way. I mean, my ego might get very involved when they're doing really well. And that, you know, that would probably defeat my own purpose also, just as much as if I was crushed, if somebody was having a harder time when they left than when they came. And even that, if somebody's in a more fragile place, maybe that's where they need to be. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, I like the points that you raise, and in particular, that not to take too much credit either way, you know, and even if it's the same group, it's always a unique moment, and sometimes things work and sometimes things don't. You could do all the right things, and the end result is just mediocre, and you can muddle through the form, but have everyone kind of right there with their intention, and it goes someplace. So it is still very mystical as to what happens in the chemistry.
Yes, it is. I also see some mentees who are, you know, like rhythmically making it a difficult dance or whatever, but where the energy comes, I feel like, you know, all of those technical aspects are really, I mean, that is the function is really so much more than that form, the technical aspects of what we get there. As we get more mature as leaders, we develop more techniques and hopefully more receptivity to the spirit of guidance and to the group in the moment to choose the right techniques, as you're saying. But the most novice dance leader can do a totally inspiring offer a totally inspiring experience for us, regardless of technique, if the purity of their intention is there, and they carry enough wisdom in their being that it's just naturally is going to fall out in the moment.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes what I like to do for myself when I start, I have to confess that it's very difficult for me to be in a circle without having an opinion, because it's just there. And I have to keep pushing it away sometimes. And I ask myself two questions that they're not mine, they're Byron Katie's, but they really work for me. Is this thought absolutely true? And where would I be without this thought? And I try to then clear that and just go with having the experience.
That's lovely.
And you're right. Sometimes it's an, you know, you wind up, and I remember these things years, you know, the whether they're the good job or the bad job. I remember a Ram Nam partner dance from, at least 15 years ago, where I did all the right things, and at the end of the dance, half the people reported that they were all very dizzy and nauseous. And don't know what happened, you know, but that's what happened in that particular dance.
So, Radha, while preparing for this interview, you sent me printed material called The Art of Feedback that it must be 15 pages or something. And I was wondering if this is something you're willing to share with people if they want to email you and get some more of your, you know, written down ideas on the topic.
Absolutely. I am a compulsive organizer and recorder. And as I mentioned, because I use the Dances of Universal Peace as my specialty in graduate school, I was required to substantiate everything and put everything kind of in measurable terms. So I had to do it anyways. And then I saw the benefit in it for me. It helped to slow down and clarify my thinking. So it's all there, and I'm happy to share it. Just send me an email, and I'll send you the file or the files, depending what you want. And use what works and throw away the rest.
And would you say what your email is?
It's Radha Tedesca, RadhaTereska, @comcast.net.
So I really enjoyed reading through this, and one thing that caught my attention was on page 10, I believe. During the getting acquainted period in a mentoring relationship, I like to observe my mentee's style and planetary energy. Let's say I tend to be Saturnine and cleverly avoid hanging out in Mercury mode. I get a mentee who is all Mercury. I will need to separate my own preferences from what actually can work in dance leading. And indeed, I know dance teachers in every planet, leaders who are perfect leading in Sun and others who are perfect leading in Moon. This type of language may be difficult for you to follow. It's part of the advanced planetary walks and practices. Don't worry, we can discuss this. The intention in mentoring others is not to produce clones. Each person has a unique style, which is a gift. Each personality may need polishing and a heavy dose of organic gardening. And in the end, the evidence will be in the fruit that is harvested. I thought that
Did
was I really...
Did I say that? That was me.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, well, it is true, and it's the way that I learned. I happen to, in fact, be the Saturn, and the universe put a lot of Mercuries in my path, and that was very, very annoying to me until I appreciated how to work in tandem with another planetary energy. And I'm glad, Lucinda, you reminded me of the Wally Ali training, because that I have to pat myself on the back for that. I was very weak in the planetary walks, and I said, well, I have to learn from the master, and what better way is to ask him, you know, to come and do a training with me. And I was able to get feedback on my own walks from him because of that, and learned that I have to make friends with mercurial people. And what do I have as a co-leader in my dances for the last 15 years is a very Mars mercurial being who takes care of the things that I don't feel so comfortable with.
And it coming right back to the art of feedback, it means that as we open our mouths to give feedback to somebody, we may be needing to censor ourselves before saying, oh, that was way too something or other, because that something or other might be just our personal preference.
Right. And it's always about, you know, just basic active listening, nonviolent communication type ways of talking. You know, this is how I feel. This is how I experience this action. And it just from my particular place, and trying to get out of saying good or bad, right or wrong, but just sharing an experience.
Well, thank you.
Radha, this is Waduda. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I understand the concept of, how it feels at the end is what matters, and
that there's different ways to get there. But I'm wondering about honoring the intention of what the original melody is, or the steps, you know, quote, correct melody or correct steps. In giving feedback, would you say, give feedback on that?
I was hoping that somebody would ask that question, because it always comes up almost every dance training. Yes,
right.
I would say not almost.
Right, it always comes up.
It always comes up. And if it doesn't come up publicly, it comes up privately with people whispering, is that the way you lead it? You know, let's check the book, and so on.
No, I've never done it like that.
Right. Well, again, I have to give credit to Tasneem, who used to answer questions with, well, yes, no, and maybe. So it really depends upon the circumstance. One thing that I might do is first check in with the leader and say, hey, can we go over, can we just redo this dance a couple of sets? Sometimes I find that in the moment a leader misspeaks or just misremembers, but really knows the written up version, but just for some reason it wasn't there. So I check that out. And I might check out where they learned it from. I will often go to the book myself, and sometimes the book has been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have certainly found errors after my first edition of the Foundation Dance Manual, and had to go back and do erratas for a number of the dances. And then it's a matter of how important is it to, again, can we get to the outcome? Can we get to the goal without needing to make that correction in the moment? Assuming that this person has the right attitude and will periodically go back and recheck their memory in their memory and the dance resources that they have. So I can't tell you like an overall rule. I'd have to say that I pay attention. If it's a serious infringement and it makes for a poor representation of the dance, if it makes something awkward and the dance can't move, we'll give it a try. Well, again, I'd like to think that we can discover that together by redoing the dance rather than my just telling somebody this is written up differently.
Mm-hmm. You did it wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
But, you know, there are those instances. I mean, there was a time when someone led the Abund Bashmaya backwards. The movements were backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I pondered. But it wasn't my place. I had no relationship with the leader, and so I had to really let it go.
That answers a whole nother question. Do you ever give feedback if it's not asked?
Another great question. Very rarely, if I'm not asked, I used to, years ago, used to be part of what was not so affectionately called the dance police.
Yeah. I remember them.
But I, more than that, I ask myself, like, why do I feel I need to offer my opinion? Is it absolutely true? And again, where would I be without this thought? Why can't I just let it go? You know, is the world going to end if I don't make this comment? The exception is if someone is leading a dance that I originated, and then I feel like I have a relationship with the dance, and then I have a little bit of authority to come in and say, at least, you know, at least, would you like to hear the way it came through?
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a huge practice to be able to do that, to be able not to have to make a comment and to release it.
Yeah, you said the thing about corrective feedback of picking one thing too. I mean, that it really does take some restraint sometimes and a really good focus before one speaks to do that. But I think it is really good because you can overwhelm someone with too many little points, you know. This is Hira Fataya. I just wanted to also share another word that I like that feels more like what I want to do with my mentees, with my co-leaders, or when I'm a dancer and somebody else was leading. I'll very often ask them if they want to debrief. And to me, that's a very mutual thing because I want to know about their experience as much as,
yeah.
You know, I might have something to offer. I might not even have something to offer. And I want to debrief with somebody when I lead, even if, you know, there were only dancers present. I enjoy having a debrief. I don't mean only dancers, but even if none of my co-leaders were present, none of my mentors or mentees were present, you know, I very often enjoy a debrief, though sometimes I don't want it till the next day. But I'll seek that out, you know, with somebody real specifically saying, you know, I'm interested in your experience. Can we just share a little bit of our debrief about how it was last night? It's nice.
Yeah.
It's especially nice to set those sort of things up in advance to have, like we dance Wednesday night, to say, are you going to be free Thursday afternoon? And not even think about it, just, you know, dwell in our own experience for the night afterwards, but then as it's the next day, as it's coming to the surface again, you can say, oh, yes, I want to share that with so-and-so, and I'm wondering how that was for them. So that mutuality,
yeah,
of just debriefing together.
Yeah, I like that, and I always ask for specifics. And when someone comes and tries to just say, that was great, I'll always say, well, can you tell me what was great about it?
Right.
I always want to know the specific. And as soon as possible, I got feedback once for something that happened 6 weeks past. And for the life of me, I could not remember what I had said. So...
mm-hmm.
So sooner is better than later.
Agreed. My rule of thumb about that is it's got to be before the next dance meeting because this,
yeah,
the current experience will be in the forefront, and the other is just all of part of what makes me who I am.
Any other comments?
Well, this is Morgan. I'm loving hearing all this, and I'm just curious if Radha, if you're doing, are you currently doing leader trainings?
I just finished a 5-day retreat just 5 days ago. So that's it for now, except for individual relationships that I have. I don't have anything planned currently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, this has been a real treat, Radha. Thank you so much. I know that taking my dance leader training with you and over time having you as my mentor, I've developed such a personal relationship with you that it comes across in your teaching so wise and compassionate at the same time. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your feedback. I have one little quote that's on my desk. I don't even have a source for it. I don't remember where I got it, but look at it all the time. And it's this: in order to understand what another person is saying, you must assume it is true and try to imagine what it could be true of. In order to understand what another person is saying, you must assume it is true and try to imagine what it could be true of.
That's beautiful.
And I try to strive for that in my mentoring and in my teaching.
Yeah.
So we can close our wonderful interview with that. And again, Radha, her email address, I think she might like some feedback from everybody if you want to type her a short email. It's radhatereska@comcast.net. radhatereska@comcast.net. Thank you all for joining, and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.